Hi, this is Peter. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Your Living Blueprint, yourlivingblueprint.com, and also the founder of Empower Your Brilliance. I'm here once again with Kaylin Cassell for Audio 3 on the Three World Cycles, and this in particular is the Underworld Cycle. Kaylin Cassell.
Underworld, the realm of Pluto and Chiron. Now, some people really fear these cycles, dislike these cycles, dread these particular cycles, because the underworld is the place where we do face our deepest fears. And for the purpose of becoming empowered, for the purpose of being able to gather up parts of ourselves that have been disowned, denied, repressed, etc., and become more fully empowered by that. So truly, these cycles are about empowerment through transformation, transforming those fears, integrating them, integrating those parts of ourselves that we haven't always wanted to look at or be a part of us for whatever reasons. And sometimes they're our best skills and abilities that we're afraid of. So underworld cycles are about death and rebirth, and dying to who we believe ourselves to be reborn to something different. Oftentimes what we encounter are overwhelming events that are beyond our control, that are intended to produce genuine surrender. And this is where, when we're in these cycles, you can't detach from them. You can't deny that what's happening is happening. It's so big and so present and so right there that it's like there's no denying that you're in a process that is beyond your control, and you can't use your strength to get, you know, kind of gut your way through it or muscle your way through it, and you can't figure it out with the mind. None of those strategies work when you're in an underworld cycle. But the intention is always to bring a sense of greater empowerment. Chiron is really for personal transformation and empowerment of the personal self. Chiron is about healing any wounds that hold us back. And I think of this story that a woman named Ursula Le Guin wrote a book called The Earth Sea Trilogy. And it's about a young wizard named Ged, G-E-D, Ged. And he's a young man, and he wants to become a wizard, and he's studying with the wizard of the elder of the village, who's a wizard. But he's impatient, and he doesn't want to take a long time to learn. So the elder teacher says, okay, well, maybe you need to go to the school. It's a wizard school where you get to learn how to become a wizard. And so he's all excited because he can't wait to be, you know, get all his powers figured out and what he can do and so on. And so he goes to the school. And, of course, he meets one of the elder students there who doesn't like him instantly, because I think they recognize that this older student recognizes that this young kid has a lot of power, but he doesn't know how to use it. And somehow challenges them to a wizard's duel. And so they wind up, seeing who can do the biggest magic, I guess. And Ged decides to call a wizardess or a sorceress, I don't know, really, a being that has passed over to the other world, into the underworld. And he calls her forward, and she comes forward for a moment, but he opens a crack between the worlds, and this shadow comes out and begins to try to kill him, basically. And so he has to flee. And he has the ability to shapeshift, and he turns himself into a hawk and flies off, and then escapes this creature, this shadow creature, and finally winds up back at the feet of his original mentor, who tells him that if you keep running from the shadow, you're going to lose all your energy and strength running away from it. So your best strategy is to turn around and face it. You become the hunter instead of being the hunted. You go and track down that shadow piece, that shadow being, and come, you know, when you come face to face with it, you have a better chance of having a victory over this shadow. So that's what he does. And eventually he does come face to face with his shadow. But what he realizes that it is his shadow. This is the dark part of himself that he has called forth. And he's able to integrate it and bring it into him, his being, and become a very powerful and strong wizard as a result of it. So in a sense, it's like this is what we're all dealing with. We're all dealing with the part of ourselves that is the part that we're afraid of. And when we're running away from it, it's choosing where we go, because we can't go towards it. We have to go away from it. And that was the other message that Ged got from his mentor, was that, you know, if you're running, it chooses where you go. And so if you want to become empowered, you need to turn around and face it. And hunt it down. So that's really the intention of any underworld cycle, is that whatever we're running from is what we now need to face, what we now need to turn around and be willing to face.
Face your fears, face your shadow.
Exactly. So with Chiron, it's really about healing wounds. The Chiron returns happen around age 50. It's about a year-long cycle. And it's really coming to the place where we can accept our story and not be at the effect of it. So whatever terrible, horrible, awful things that happened to us in childhood, and pretty much everybody has something. You know, some people have more dramatic stories than others, but there's always some kind of something that happened that was wounding. So sometimes simply being born into this life and getting disconnected from that connection to spirit that we had prior to coming here is a wound in itself. And then there's other wounds that we can experience. So when we can get to the place where we're no longer at the effect of our story, and that, or we're needing our story as a way to get sympathy, or to, you know, to get people to feel badly for us, or to help, you know, sometimes people use our story to manipulate and control
it's
other people.
It's their identity. It's how they move through the world.
Right.
Right.
So ideally, the intention of Chiron is to come to the place where the story is our medicine. It's the gift that we have, and that the only time we're really telling our story or about our wounds or what's happened to us is that when it becomes something that can help someone else on their journey, it becomes a medicine story. I'm just trying to think of an example here. In the story of Chiron, literally the Greek mythic story, he's a master healer. He's trained Asclepius. He's trained all these great healers, and he becomes wounded. He gets a mortal wound, but he's immortal, can't die, and he can't heal it either. So his opportunity is to figure out how to transform this wound, and that's ultimately what he winds up doing. And the wound then becomes a gift to others and an inspiration. And so the story, Chiron's story, now inspires us to know that that's our journey, and that's what our opportunity is when we go through a Chiron process. Chiron processes can happen at any point in life. In fact, you will have Chiron touch every part of your chart before you reach age 50. So you go through several Chiron initiations prior to the Chiron return, and the opportunity to take whatever those wounds are and have them become your medicine. This is kind of similar to drug addicts and alcoholics who become the best counselors for other drug addicts and alcoholics, because they know the journey and they also know what it takes to heal and to get to the other side of that. One of the reasons that Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, and Al-Anon, and those 12-step programs are so successful as they were created by people who had to go through those steps to get through their own addictions, their own challenges.
Who had overcome their addictions through working the programs and everything else.
Right.
That's a great, great example of the Chironic process.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you noticed too, but this age 50 time frame for many people, I guess the shadow aspect of this is many people do have life-threatening illnesses that show up, and they might be done. They do check out. I mean, my favorite rock star, Warren Zevon, had this rare form of lung cancer that happened when he was in this exact cycle, and it took him a year or two, but then he was gone by age 53, 54. That was his choice. Apparently, he had decided he was done with whatever it was, which is unfortunate, and hopefully not the experience of many people who might be listening to this, but it is a possibility of the shadow side of this transit as well.
Right. Well, if it, you know, sometimes people might come to the conclusion that whatever else they might have to do as part of their soul's journey, they're not capable of doing it in this life. And so they do make that choice. And there's no judgment. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just what happens at that particular time. But if we're conscious, we're co-creating with these cycles. So if we're consciously co-creating, we can then co-create an opportunity for healing and to be able to go forward from this time with great gifts that we have to offer. So that's the advantage of knowing about the cycles, because a lot of people get there and they have no idea, and they've not done any personal work. The wounding that they've experienced is so big that it's like they don't see any way out of it, and that's just what happens for those people at that point. And maybe that is a gift in itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So taking time to heal in Chiron, or being forced. and sometimes the healing will be the transition. You know, sometimes that's what liberates people or is the ultimate healing for them. But for a lot of people, they get through these cycles, and if they've done it in a conscious way, they come out the other side of it empowered. That's the whole purpose of it. To become a shamanic healer in their own right, not meaning they do shamanic healing practices, but because they've lived the journey,
mm-hmm.
they now carry that energy with them wherever they go.
They're an example of the process, an example of the behavior, and thus a source of information and inspiration for others.
Plus, even if they never tell anybody about that, they're carrying that energetic vibration and adding that to the collective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a great time for healing what we call the addiction to perfection, which is a Saturn piece, you know, that whole perfection. Sometimes it's just better to do something and get it done rather than to have it be perfect.
Paula Payne Harden, who wrote a book called What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life, talks about it that taking the path of generativity, where you do become reconciled to those things, that life doesn't have to be perfect. Just showing up, being wise, being, you know, an elder, being an example of the behavior you want to see in the world is the most positive path to take. And this is exactly what this cycle does speak to. Are you going to generativity, or are you going to stagnation, where you just become at the effect of things and negative and drive people away because you complain so much? We all know examples of those behaviors, I'm sure, both in our family and in people around us.
Right, right.
So what path are you on?
That's a good question to be with as you contemplate, you know, especially if you're coming into the Chiron return time or a Chiron cycle in a personal way. Really great question to be with. So the Pluto cycle is about death and rebirth. It's about dying to who you think you are, so you can be reborn to who you truly are, to be empowered. And it does require facing fears and integrating shadow aspects. But it's also very much like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. So the caterpillar isn't wrong or bad. It isn't a bad caterpillar. It's just time for it to become a butterfly. And so sometimes in Pluto cycles, and generationally speaking, the Pluto cycle is movable. So currently it's happening around age 36, 37. People who were born in the 1940s had their Pluto cycle in their early 40s. People born in the 1930s had it in their mid-40s, I think. And as we go through life, it's going to start stretching out a little bit more. And because we're in a speeded up Pluto generation, Pluto was in its closest orbit to the Earth from 1979 to 1999. So that means that we live in a speeded up Pluto time, meaning we get more Pluto initiations than other time periods. Many of the people that are alive right now will experience their Pluto opposition. People who are born in the 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even 70s will experience their Pluto opposition. I know I have mine in that early 82, 83 age range when all those other cycles are taking place. Will be the Pluto opposition as well. So, but for most people right now, when that is happening is about age 37, 36, 37, 38, somewhere in there is when people are going through that. These initiations are sort of, we could say, happening outside of ordinary reality. It's not like a time when logic and reason is applied again. When the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, its body starts to dissolve. It's like in a alchemical transformational process. I like to call it the alchemical cauldron of transformational change. And the caterpillar's body dissolves, and then it actually formulates into a butterfly, and then it has to get out of the cocoon. And what they found, scientists have found, is that if they open the cocoon to help the butterfly out, the butterfly can't fly. It needs to come through the narrow passage opening to strengthen its wings so that it can fly. And if it can't fly, it'll die. So, but once a butterfly emerges, it can fly like 3,000 miles from, you know, northern Wisconsin and northern states of the United States and lower
to Brazil.
Canada down to Mexico and they make this migration, spend the winter, and then they migrate back. It's amazing how far they can go. So that's the kind of empowerment that's possible.
And you think about the caterpillar, it would take it all day to cross a very small garden because it just doesn't have the physical wherewithal or the tools or strength to move any faster or any farther than that. So, and I love that contrast, by the way.
And that is the intention behind a Pluto cycle, is to create that
empowerment.
Kind of personal empowerment, yes. Now the thing is that when you're in a Pluto cycle, you can't ignore it. You know, the caterpillar cannot ignore the fact that it's in the cocoon and it can't go anywhere and its body is dissolving. Cannot be ignored. It is happening. Oftentimes what is also experienced in a Pluto cycle is, what's missing how we can feel powerless over events that are happening in our life. Sometimes we call it the acute perception of what's missing. And usually it is the what's missing is a stronger sense of our whole self being fully integrated into a whole being of who we are. The other thing to know is that you can't get out of Pluto by being good. You know, sometimes I imagine what the caterpillar might be thinking as this body is dissolving, like, I should have been a better caterpillar. Oh my God, I could have been nicer to my neighbors.
What did I do?
What did I do to deserve this? So my body's dissolving this. Ah, scary. Oh no. And no, it's just a time for a transformation to take place. You can't be good enough to get out of it. It's going to happen, that transformational change. And the events are so intense, you cannot detach from your feelings. And in fact, it is in the lower world or the underworld where we encounter the feeling realm. We are intended to feel our feelings, both in Chiron and in Pluto. So the more we try to avoid our feelings, the more intense things become to get us to feel. So it's better to surrender and just say, okay, fine. Maybe you need to grieve every loss you've ever experienced in your entire life when you're going through a Pluto cycle. There may be things that you're angry about, frustrated about, hurt about, that need to come up and get released out of your physical body. To feel them is to release them. So, and then to feel them and release them is to heal. As a result, and to become strengthened and empowered as a result of doing that. So often what we say is that in a Pluto cycle, you can't get out of those feelings by doing escapist things. Drugs, alcohol,
exercise, working, whatever you do to distract yourself and take you away from the feeling function.
Right, because it is so overwhelming, you can't get out of them. It's like, you know, workaholics often are working because they don't want to feel. Mm-hmm. They don't want to have to deal with the feeling realm, so they work. Well, won't work in a Pluto cycle. You'll still have to feel it. You may still be a workaholic. You may still try to do those things, but it won't bring the relief that you would normally get in another time. So the strategy for dealing with Pluto is to be willing to call out your fears. Like I was telling the story of the wizard who has to turn around and go hunt his shadow, go hunt it down and find it and come face to face with it, and be willing to surrender, be willing to take that dive deep into the underworld and to surrender to the process and to have it, to die to who you've been, be, you know, to who you've thought yourself to be, so that something more amazing, so that caterpillar can be birthed and come into form. Something you may encounter when you're in a Pluto cycle is life has no meaning. I have nothing to live for. I wish I could die. I've shared this before with people that there's been time I was in a Pluto cycle in my early 30s, and everything in my life was dissolving and disintegrating, and it was, I was very attached to that life and really wanted to keep it. And I remember banging on my chest with my fists and hitting my chest several times really hard and begging God to kill me now, because I was in such despair, I did not want to live. It's kind of funny now looking back on it. And what happened was, on the other side of that cycle, I got a much better life. And that's what's happened every time I've gone through that deep of a Pluto process, is getting a better life. You know, you get gifts given to you because you go through the experience, you go through that death process, and whatever the that feeling of wanting to die, that's actually a normal part of the process. It's okay to want to, you know, to feel that way. Ideally, it's not a time to act on it, because it will pass, definitely will pass. And if you're failing to feel your feelings, then of course things become more intense. And but ultimately, if you feel those feelings and you integrate those shadow pieces and those and the fears and the things that you've been avoiding in, within yourself, everything that was obliterated in the Pluto cycle is given, that's really part of who you are, it gets given back to you in a much better way. It's amazing.
The phoenix arising from the ashes.
Right, exactly. Being reborn. And really, you know, we go through many Pluto cycles in our life where many times we get to dive into the fire to be transformed and arise anew as
a phoenix. I actually like to say I'm a big fan of Pluto. My Pluto transits have been incredibly empowering, very intense, very alive. And I have to say I've enjoyed them. they've been easier than some of my other transits.
Easier in what way would you say easier?
All of my greatest fears never came true. But by facing them and calling them out, I gave voice and face to them. And almost by turning the light on them, they shrank away and diminished to be nowhere near as either scary or as powerful than I thought they were.
One of the strategies we say in Pluto is soon bite your fierceity.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down with them, have a conversation with them, you know, really engage them. And by doing that, you may not have to literalize them.
Right.
But it's
there really are no monsters under the bed or in the closet.
But it is not a guarantee, because sometimes whatever we fear most, and even if we've engaged it and we've called it out and we've felt what it might be like to go through it and we've, you know, imagined it, we still may go through it. Mm-hmm. So just to say it's not a guarantee, but it is still a good strategy. Because if you have imagined what it would be like and what it would feel like to go through and experience that fear, then you have imagined how you would deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so that gives you some tools if it actually does come to pass. But oftentimes, and there's a great story of a woman who, many years ago in California, there were the wildfires in the summer that were burning people's homes, and this wildfire was coming into her neighborhood, and she, and her worst fear was that her fire, that her house would be burned in a fire. And she was in a Pluto cycle, and she used the strategy of what it would feel like and what she would do and how she would go through it, and she completely imagined the whole entire thing. And the fire did come through her neighborhood, and her house was the only one left standing. So it was a case when that Pluto strategy actually did work. Now, sometimes, you know, your fear might be that your parents would die. Well, they probably are going to. And oftentimes that can happen in a Pluto cycle or in an underworld cycle. And that definitely happened to me when my mom passed. And so no matter how much you imagine that and call that forth, it still could happen. You know, it's not something that you can control.
Right. So as you navigate these underworld cycles, realize the idea is empowerment. It is facing your fears. It is taking you further and strengthening you in ways that you've never been strengthened before, and to recapitulate the things that might be holding you back so you can feel more alive, you can contribute more, you can take those lessons you've learned and turn them into useful tools for yourself, for your family, for your relationships, and for your business. Because truthfully, many of the people that we recognize as self-help gurus, the Neil Donald Walshes of the world, the Deepak Chopras, the Oprahs of the world, they have based their work in the world on their underworld initiations. If you think of all three of them and their backstory of how they got to where they are, that is a prime example of underworld initiation and the recapitulation and the reforming of it to be life work.
Beautiful. So that completes our underworld journey.